Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Jimson and Roscoe Show. I'm not going to tell you what episode it is because
we're going to make it up as we go.
We're going to make it up as we go along. We might chop and change the order, but we're in. But don't forget to like and subscribe. Smash the bell button, you fucking bell ends.
We're not saying that anymore. I've got a new phrase.
Have you gone?
Smash that bell button, you fucking bell friends.
Yeah, bell friends, bell end, bell friends. Yeah, yeah.
Bell friends.
Yeah. So smash that button, you fucking bell friends.
jokes.
And this week we are joined by Louise Harris, who is a Luna. Is it Luna Solar? Was it? I've forgotten your
Luna Sol Amor. So Luna Sol Amor.
Yeah.
Welcome.
So, welcome, Louise.
Thanks.
How are you?
All the way from Thailand. I'm good. I know. Thank you.
I bet it's warmer where you are. Have you? I bet you got the aircon and we're gagging for the heat.
Yeah. I actually have got it on today. We never normally have it on, but it was so hot today. So I was like, I actually need the aircon on. It was too hot. That's why I haven't got a cup of tea as well.
How's doing the yoga in the heat?
Do you know what? It's actually, so when I did my course, when I like first got here, that was fine because it wasn't monsoon season. So it was all right. It was hot, but you like enjoy the sweat. It was kind of like, the Ashtanga feel, even when you weren't doing Ashtanga, but now it's so hot, like all the time, especially for a downpour, it's like heat.
What's it like? I've never been to Thailand. Is it sticky heat or is it like dry heat?
No, it's not dry heat. I prefer dry heat. It's so much more manageable, but this is like wet, humid heat, especially now because it's monsoon season and it's raining all the time. It's like really damp in the air, but it just gets really thick and heavy. And then it will chuck down with rain and then, it's like an ongoing cycle. But there's only a couple more weeks left of that and then it goes back to normal temperatures.
Does it dry up then?
To manage again.
Does it dry up then? Does it dry up a bit then? Like the humidity?
It's not as intense and it's still a little bit humid, but it's not that like really thick, damp air that goes around. I'm literally begging for that to come back now. It's so hot.
Because I did a jiu-jitsu training camp in 2019 in Sicily.
Yeah.
And I thought that's going to be like sweltering and it's going to be hard work. But because it's dry heat.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right.
Dry heat's fine. Yeah, dry heat's good.
Easy,
yeah. I like it.
It's like here. It's like, it's grim. So
this
Louise,
makes you feel like you're like a microwave.
Yeah, yeah. Louise, tell us about.
Well, tell us three good things that happened to you today.
three good things that happened to you today.
Oh,
Three good things happened today.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw my friend Mel. I haven't seen Mel for a little while. I've made like a whole new family and friendship over here. So that's really nice. And my friend Mel, I haven't seen her for a few weeks. So it was really nice to catch up with her. What else happened today? I'm doing it really well on TikTok. And then I went on there just to have a little look. And it's all of a sudden randomly just doing really well by itself when I haven't really been doing anything. So that was my surprise.
Nice.
And then, it wasn't as hot today. It was like a nice kind of heat for a part of the day. It was really good. So it was more manageable. And I really enjoyed feeling like, this is why I came to Thailand. This is good. So that was a positive today.
What times are you like doing your classes? Yeah. Are you doing your classes in the morning or like?
Morning, like before it gets really, really hot. Or if there is ever ones, like if people want one-to-one or anything that's like during the midday, then I'll try and find somewhere that's cold or got aircon or a fan or something, so it's more manageable. But I try and balance it around that really hot time of the day.
Because I suppose if you're doing so, it's most of the people here in the UK that you're doing stuff with.
No, there's actually people in Thailand that are here, but that were on my course and around here, but then they've like gone back to their different parts of Thailand or like outside of Thailand. So actually, there's a mixture of two. It's not actually as bad. Most of my one-to-ones because I do yoga and then I also do the one-to-ones with like emotional support and spiritual guidance.
Yes.
That is mainly people in the UK at the minute. That's mainly for them. They're the ones that seem to want that more at the moment.
Because it gets so cold.
Enough time in the day. I know.
It gets so cold and they've got no vitamin D. They need some love.
I know. They're like, bring me some sun.
Yeah. So TikTok, something that I've only just started going back on Instagram, dipping my toe back in the water, but TikTok, like it's a different beast from what I can gather from people. And it's very good at putting your stuff in front of people that like that already.
Yeah.
Have you found anything come from it with like, have you been able to transfer people across into anything, or is it still like sort of early days to notice that?
No, yeah, they have. It's so random because I basically was like, I'm never going on TikTok. What a crap. Like when we had that first lockdown.
Yeah.
And then it started to get like a bit more popular. And then my little sisters kept sending me things. So I downloaded it then. And then I started just messing around making videos for myself just because we had so much time, was working from home, and my laptop kept crashing every 20 minutes at home. So I was like, oh, I need to fill my time. And I like doing fun stuff like that anyway. So I was just doing it for myself. And then I'd make myself laugh. So I was like, okay, well, I've laughed. So that's all I cared. But then I'd put it up on TikTok and think, well, if one other person laughs, then that's great. Yeah. So I put it up. And then even though they weren't going like viral or anything like that, the people that did see them was like, oh, Lou, this is really making my day. Like, especially during lockdown when it was like really tough that first time around. Everyone was like, this is really lightening my mood. Like, please do some more. And I was like, okay, cool. And I love being of service. Like, that's like me to my core. So I was like, cool, this is another way I can be of service while I'm still having a laugh at the same time. Mm. So it started like that. And then I kind of fell off it maybe like this year. I didn't do too much. And then I don't know if you remember, I took like a 3-month social media, well, a full digital detox at the start of the year. I had no phone, no TV, like nothing for 3 months. And then when I came back on, I did one TikTok, and I don't know whether it was the time I got at the right time, whether it was like the trending song that I used or something, I don't know, but it went viral straight away. And I was like, whoa, what the hell? Mm. And I guess, and I've noticed now, whenever I do something that's authentic with like my spiritual journey, whatever you want to call it, my path, that's when they tend to skyrocket. So yeah. I basically just said that I'd had a social detox and it was like amazing and I feel so much better. And then it, yeah, kind of went viral there. And then I did another one once I'd decided to stay in Thailand recently. And then I did the same thing again. And then another one straight after did it. So I was like, cool. And then they've kind of transferred over to my Instagram. Random people keep finding me on there, and then they'll go over to my Instagram and then message me and they're like, oh, hey Lou, hope you don't mind me reaching out, I found your TikTok and like I love your content, I find it so inspiring, or like you really helped me with what you're saying, do you mind if I ask you some questions? And then I'm always like, yeah, that's fine, like I've always got time.
Yeah, nice.
And then that's kind of how it starts, and then I realize they want one-to-ones or just like support or something. So yeah, it's nice. They're transferring over without even asking. And that's kind of how I like it. If I feel like I'm being asked to go and do something, I'm reluctant to want to do it. So
it's more organic that way, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, I think because that's the trouble with like with Meta or Facebook, as you want to call it that.
Meta,
it's very business driven, isn't it? Like Instagram, it's very like ad bombarded, or it's like a lot of the stuff that you see, it's like, okay, where's the sales pitch? And it's almost like you're anticipating a sales pitch where it's not just someone like, hey, I did this, maybe this can help you. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, I think what a lot of people don't grasp is like, you need to give value before you can like make a business out of something. I mean, you can't just like go in and be like, give me your money. Like, just like, no, you got to like really, you got to like put it out first. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, well, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's being vulnerable as well, like being completely honest and open. So like, even if you are brand new at doing something, you have no idea what you're doing and you're literally just finding your feet, which is what I've been doing since coming to Thailand. Cause like, I don't know if you know Roscoe, I was talking to Jimson anyway, but like this wasn't the plan. I literally came here for 6 weeks to do a course. Yeah. And I was going to come straight back to the UK. Mm-hmm. But then once I got here, I was like, why the hell would I ever leave? So just being open and honest and like being vulnerable, people were like, oh shit, I can relate to that. Or they completely understand why I'd be feeling the way that feeling, or like how we all are. So yeah. And I don't know about YouTube, but whenever I see a post, especially on like Instagram or something, if I see that word ad or like sponsorship or something, I just scroll straight past because I know it's not authentic. It's probably nothing that they actually use or would endorse because they like it. They're just being paid to do it. So yeah, it's that like level of organic, like authentic stuff I like.
I think it's the thing with that. It's like, with the brand endorsement thing, it's like, cause I would happily endorse a brand, but like, I'd have to like be invested in the brand.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I mean, it's like when it's like, I don't know, like say someone comes to me, it's like, hey, can you like
sponsor cat food?
Or like, or like a VPN. Can you like do our VPN?
Yeah, don't even have a cat.
What do I know about VPN?
Yeah.
Like, but like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like Captain Fawcett.
But if it was Slate.
Captain Fawcett or Slate,
there you go.
I keep saying like the other week, I was talking about these plugins called Slate Digital and I went into it. And like Jay and Roscoe are like, are you sure you ain't being sponsored by them, like Joey? But Lou, tell us or tell the people about what it is actually that you do.
Yeah.
That what is it?
What I do now. Okay. Like in general.
Yeah, or like tell us your story. Tell us what you do now.
So
and how then we'll go back like how you got there. Mm-hmm. Go.
Okay, so right now, right this second, pretty much every single aspect of my life has changed over the last 4 months. So right now I'm working for myself. I'm living in Thailand, but I don't class that as like my home. I live in the world. I'll just move around whenever I feel called to move around. I offer one-to-ones for people that want emotional support or spiritual guidance, and I will explain why I do that in a minute. But that's like something I'm really passionate about, being that support for somebody, because I'm very aware of what it's like to not have that, especially when you're going through like a big spiritual journey or something really traumatic or like emotional. People need someone that's external to their family or their friends. So that's what I like to feel like I am. Yoga, but not just plain yoga. So for me, it's not a case of like, oh, I teach Hatha or Vinyasa or something like that. It's a blend of everything that I've sort of picked up along my journey, because I used to be a professional dancer and there was many aspects of that I loved that was healthy for the body. So I want to be able to like infuse that into my yoga as well. And because I've slipped my disc twice, I'm really hypermobile within my body. Like everywhere is super bendy, like spaghetti, but I don't really have the strength to always support it. Or my ego used to kick in and then I'd like push and dump into this like flexibility just because it looked good, but it's super damaging. But I'm training my body to understand how to use that correctly. That's something I'm bringing into my yoga. I really want to help people get back into their body. And for me, it's all about the parasympathetic system and like calming the body down and becoming like still, welcome up whatever needs to come up. So for me, my yoga is not very like intense. It's not hardcore or like anything like that. It's very gentle. You still do a deep class, but it's gentle and it's tapping into things. It's honoring like wherever you are that day. There is no right or wrong within my class. It's simply, I always honor everybody's bodies for what they are. And yeah, there's never like a, how do you explain it? There's never like an ideal way of doing my class. It's whatever it looks like on your body. And if it feels good, that's right. And if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. I always ask people to try it on. It doesn't work, put it down. We'll try something else. But it's just all about exploring the body, coming back to like a real calm place, or like that really tapping into your parasympathetic system and like trying to calm the nervous system. Cause I'm basically being really selfish. Whatever my body needs, that's what I want to teach, that I then do more of it for myself. Mm. So yeah. I'm trying to tap into people that are like myself, basically.
Yeah. Did you do like a lot of breath work in that then, with like saying you like a lot of the parasympathetic nervous system? Like, do you do like much on breath work, I suppose?
I do a bit. I should do more. I'm not perfect. I know my body needs more of that. Mm. And I end up like neglecting it. It's probably because have you two ever done breath work, like Kundalini breath work, or like the fast pace, like fire breath, like that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like the real intense stuff. Yeah. I sort of joked about it before and was like, because my body can hack like anything. I can literally make it do whatever I want it to do and it will do it. But that was the first thing that I made my body do that scared the absolute shit out of me, because it pulled up all this energy that had been like completely stuck for so long. And the first time I ever did it was maybe like 3 years ago. And I went to this whole Kundalini class and it started. I went with my little sister, and she gets real bad anxiety as well, but she loved it. It like helped her. And I was sitting there looking around like, why is everyone else enjoying this? I could feel this like panic come in. Yeah. And I was like, I'm just going to sit here and pretend and like act that I'm doing it, but I'm not actually doing it. I'm just going to sit here and like get through the class basically. Mm. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to stay away from that. Never doing that again. And then when we got here to do this course, one of our teachers was like heavily into breath work, like really into it. And every time we had him, he'd like get us to do like really intense Kundalini stuff. And I'd be thinking, oh, for God's sake, like I really don't want to do it. And then I spoke to one of the other teachers and they were like, you're in control of your body, Louise. Like there's nothing that anybody can ask you to do that is going to make you go to a place where you don't want to be. We don't want to like make you like catapult into a traumatic state or take you back to something that makes you feel scared. You're in control. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll give it a go. And then I went into this one class and I didn't see it coming. And it was the one where you sort of like, you block off the nostril to in one side, hold out the other side. But he was getting us to, and I'm fine with that normally, like that, I don't see that as like, it doesn't make my body panic, but that one, he was getting us to do the extended hold.
Yeah. I was going to say that one, with extended holds. The one nostril one, like that, out of all of it, that's the one that really irritates me. I don't know why. I've just got like this, like, oh, not that one.
Is there one side? Is there one side that irritates you?
It's just like that breath work where you're doing the, Like that one, yeah. The either side. That one is just, yeah. I don't know what
either
is.
Either side noise.
Yeah, it's the one. That's the one that I don't know why.
Is it because you're using your hands instead of just breathing?
I don't know what it is. So I've just got this like reluctance to do it.
Yeah. I can see it. I've never done that one. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why. It's just that's the.
I wonder if your reluctance to want to do it is anything to do, because the each side, so like your right side is your masculine, your left side is your feminine, like the sun and the moon, like, and if you ever want to heat the body, you breathe through the right one to warm it up, and to cool it down you do the left. When you're doing that, you're kind of syncing both sides, but it kind of brings you to a state of, I don't know how to explain it, it brings you to a place where you're like completely still, but you're merging the two together, and it's kind of like bringing the energy from outside of you in, and then it allows that inner kundalini to come up, like whilst you're balancing. That's so when we were doing that and then holding, during that hold, all of a sudden it felt like this, I know they call it like the serpent snake anyway, that comes up through like the spine with the energy, but it genuinely, hand on heart, felt like this thing just shot up from nowhere and like grabbed me by my throat, and it just made me instantly seize up and I couldn't breathe. And even though I'd let go of my nose, I still couldn't catch my breath. And I have such a good game face, and like, I am so resilient. And I was sat there like, yes, fine, I'm fine. Just going to breathe normal for a minute. Because they always say, like, come out of you if you need to. And the rest of the class is still going, it's still going. And I'm sat there like, I'm actually going to full on have a freak out in a second. And then we finish and everyone's going around talking about it. Like, oh, how did you get on? And everyone's like, it was so good. I felt amazing. And there's me like giggling to myself. Because, and you know, when you're panicked, you don't want to cry. You start giggling. And I was sat there like, hee-hee, like laughing to myself. And then he comes around. He was like, and how did, and I was always the one putting my hand up was for stuff, and he was like, Lou, you didn't put your hand up, how did you get on? And I couldn't even open my mouth, I just giggled and then just burst into tears and then ran out the room, and I was like, I can't go back in. And it must have taken me like 20 minutes, maybe half an hour, to calm myself down. And I was sat outside getting really annoyed at myself, to the point where I ended up having to get, I've got this like little essential oil thing that like you breathe it in, it really, I don't know what's in it, but it brings me right down. So the only thing,
heroin.
And I was like, I'm going to do that. yeah, just straight up my nose. I had to run and go and get that. Can't be sat down, jam.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, it was crazy. So I stay away from, I mean, I don't stay away from it. It's something that I know I should do. And yeah, it does, it works, but I guess it's just releasing stuff that's been like stuck for so long. And that freaks me out. So I tapped into it a little bit, but I should do more. I do like more calming.
But saying that, the posers can also do that as well, can't they? The composers can also unlock like energy and emotions.
Oh my God,
like,
yeah.
Stored in like
dreams. How,
like,
pigeon pose, you're going to cry. Like, so men and women, we hold like our fear and what's the other word? Like your sorrow, like that real deep sadness in our hips. When you do pigeon, because it's such a deep stretch in the hip, every single time I'd do pigeon in class, I'd cry and I'd sit there like, oh, for God's sake. And now I just welcome it. And I used to, I don't know about you too, but I'm really like analytical. I want to know why my body's doing something all the time. And then one of the teachers was like, Lou, it really doesn't matter why or what it is you're trying to bring up. It's just a release, like just let it out. So then I'd just sit there like, ah, and then have a good cry and get it done.
So would you say you're like a very controlling type person? You want to control the what's going on rather than the...
I'm like, I'll go for it all the time. Like, I'm not scared of doing the work ever, like the emotional work, the like deep work. I'll always do it. It's when, so like yoga, so part of like my background, I've been into like yoga or like this kind of like healing side of stuff for so long, but I see yoga as a gateway. It like... You start with that and then it opens you up to this whole entire world of many different modalities that probably have a bigger effect on you than yoga ever will, even though yoga's amazing.
Yeah.
I kind of came into it back to front. I didn't start with the physical poses, like going to classes. That was the very last thing in the yoga world that I did. I was a dancer anyway, so I would dance and I'd understand that like doing certain like movements in dance would like bring on stuff, good and bad. And I loved that, but yeah, I started with like manifesting and like law of attraction, lots of like in-depth doing with the mind. I started kind of like here and then my body came last. I started on the inside and then came out. So yeah, I think the physical stuff that came last for me, it was definitely internal first.
Because a lot of people, I mean, especially for me, when I started it because I went to a Pilates woman and I used to be able to claim back like an osteopath receipt.
Yeah.
Through my work. So I find a Pilates instructor who also did, who was an osteopath. So I could then like clean back like my sessions with her. So like I did that. And then after a while, she's like, you need yoga. You don't need Pilates. You don't need to like, you need to like, you're so tight. You need to like. So then I just started that. And my, for me, all it was like sorting out back pain. And then from that, you realize that yoga is not just a bunch of poses. It's actually like, it's a way of life.
Especially if you get like the right teacher, like the right teacher as well can really open you up to many things, like so many different things. When I first met Ben, who I think I spoke to you about, actually, he was like the first teacher that I'd go to consistently. And he was the first teacher ever, whether it was in any, well, actually just in any kind of physical exercise, he was the first person to tell me to pull back because I'm so hypermobile and because my body could do so much. I'd always like push and push and I'd never be able to find my muscle. I'd always be like, I can't feel the stretch at all. So I'm pushing so far into it. And he's like, Louise, you've got, it's like back there. You need to come back. Like you're in your ligaments and in your tendons, like you're dumping right now.
What's your leg doing over there, Lou?
Yeah, like bring it back. So he like pulled me back and then I'm like, oh, there it is. And then my body starts shaking because it's never sat in the muscle before. It just dumps all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you get the right teacher, it's mental what they expose you to.
Because I've been looking, obviously I spoke to you like, because obviously I want to do my yoga teacher training, but like I've been like, obviously my own little research, I've been doing this, like being a yoga instructor is not about you being able to do the poses. It's about how well you can cue the people that you're doing. It's all about cueing. Being a good yoga instructor is just knowing how to cue people. Like, do you mean?
You should be able to stand there and not even do the class. If you can stand there and do a full class guided and everybody know exactly what they're doing and you haven't moved your body once, then you can take a good class. Obviously it helps if you're doing the poses and stuff still because most people, won't know the like Sanskrit word. And if you're just, I would never use Sanskrit because what's the point? Not everybody knows it. And I just can't remember it. So yeah, if you can stand there and like give the cues properly, then you can teach a good class.
Yeah. Cause I'm Rishikesh is what I'm looking at in India. I want to go there. I want to do the full 500 hours, January, 2023. It's on.
Amazing. I'm going. Oh, that's so sick. Exciting.
But I'm going to set, I'm going to set up a separate like Instagram channel. I'm going to start that from now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to like split up and just do like anything like you, like anything that's like served me from like healing and shit like that. Shit that has worked for me.
Yeah.
Just start sharing that. Mm-hmm. Like, do you mean? And just start putting out. It's really daunting, isn't it? When you start, when you haven't got like
amazing
any followers.
Yeah.
You're starting Instagram and like doing a video. It's like, hey, this is what I did. And it's like, no one follows me. Who the fuck am I talking to?
Tumbleweed going by.
Do you know what I mean? Just for like a break where it's like,
but it's Batcat, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Because you can always go back. It's like with your music stuff. It's like, go back. You've got so much material.
And as well, like with that, I think with like, especially things like that, like health stuff or whatever, like, unless it's like,
it's always relevant.
Yeah, do you mean like someone's like, how do I do this?
And
it's like, if you've got how-to videos, timeless. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Like, and also, like, even if nobody's watching, you can still act, you can still, because it's a video, it's not like people are literally sitting in front of you. You can still imagine that there's going to be like an endless amount of people that will watch it. And like you said, you can always go, like people will always go back.
Yeah.
And I was like, you probably follow Gary Vee. Like he always says, like, I was making content for like years before anybody saw it. Nobody gave a shit when I was making it to begin with, but I gave a shit. And now they're all going back and like the stuff I made 10 years ago is now relevant still today.
Yeah.
And yeah, like especially since I've started everything up since being here, like and having to push it tenfold online rather than in person, I definitely have been having those thoughts like, is anybody even watching or giving a
is
shit?
Is anyone here?
Gary
V's a G, man. I love it because he's fucking like, it's just like, you know, the people just go get out the brutal fucking truth of like, no, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Do this. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, don't start. Do you mean it's like,
straight to the point.
Straight to the point. Yeah. Like, do you mean there's no like beating around the bush? Like, yeah. Like, do you mean it's, yeah, he's great. He's like, like when I remember watching him one, he's like, he goes, I could easily like invest in real estate. He's like, but why the fuck would I? He goes, it's fucking boring. He goes, why the fuck do I want to go and do that? He goes, it doesn't interest me. He goes, I like going to garage sales and buying baseball cards and shit. He goes, I do it because it interests me. Why am I going to invest in something I know nothing about or do not find interesting?
Yeah.
It's like, do you mean? It's like, because everyone online is like, what stocks and shares do you want to invest in? So I don't really want to invest in any. Like, do you mean? It's like, I don't know. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And then it's like the whole thing of like, invest in yourself. Find something you like doing, just fucking invest in yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And watch that grow.
That's
like,
the best investment you'll ever make. Hell yeah.
You're doing?
People used to tell me I was crazy, like, because I got real bad allergies, like food intolerances and like medical allergies and stuff. For years after I left dance school, I had a real bad year and like I abused my body with food and like just not exercising at all. And like, that's when all of this sort of like health stuff kicked in. Then I went on like the complete other end and started investing into my mental health, my emotional health, physical health, like everything. And I didn't care what it cost. I put all the spare money I had into that all the time. And everyone was like, you're mad. You can't believe how much money you're spending on like that every month. And I'm like, are you mad? Like, you'll pay for it when you have to, like when you're in hospital and you've been given a diagnosis, then you'll pay if it's too late. I'm paying now, so I never get to that point. I'm investing today.
Especially with the health thing, it's like, if you do not, there was a quote, I don't know, that's in my other journal. I finished my journal, I started a new one. It's about if you don't, about not investing in your health today, then like, you better be investing in fucking,
you'll pay the price tomorrow.
Your sick bills, like, do you mean it's like?
Yeah.
And there's no like, this is this whole thing of like, it's getting out of the mindset of like, I'll start on Monday. Because if you fucking say I'm going to start on Monday, you're not going to start. No. It's like, no, right now. I'm doing it now. Like, today. Yeah. Going, do you know what I mean? And even if it's small steps, I think a lot of it, it's like, it's daunting, isn't it? It's like, but then when you look back and you think like, how far, like anyone who's done anything, like you look back and you think, oh shit, look how far I've come. And it's like, but it's all small steps. Like, do you know what I mean? I go back to like the whole thing, like the ladder of success thing, like, really powerful in my mind, of the whole thing with like, I don't know if you've seen it. You might have seen it. It's the picture of the guy jumping up, trying to pull himself up on the first step. And there's two of them. So there's one guy on the left and he's trying to pull himself up because he's set all these big goals. I'm going to be here. And he's trying to pull himself up.
Yes,
the guy on the other side, he set loads of little ones and he's like, and he just climbs up. Like, you know, he's like a breeze. But it's, when you say with the mic, did you like start with like, sort of like The Secret and all those, and all that sort of world?
Secret blew my mind. I know I know it's really American and like if that annoys people then they probably won't like it, but I tell you what, the first time I ever heard it, there was a guy, so my friend, well she was my friend for a really long time, Romy, her dad Alex was my mentor for a long time. He was the first person to ever tell me about it. I had no idea what law of attraction was or anything to do with like that kind of thing. And it was straight after I had that really bad year after I left dance school, and like dance school was basically my career. I was like set to have like the life that I wanted to have. I'd like worked so hard to get there. And then when it kind of felt like it got pulled out from under my feet, I just let myself completely fall for a year. And I was like, what the hell am I going to do with my life? And then that's when I kind of spiraled a bit. And then, well, a fair bit. And then, yeah, I made that energetic shift myself. Because I was like, you know, when whatever point we get to, we all get to that point where we're like, okay, enough is enough. I actually, if I continue doing this another day, I am not going to live another day. Like, I have to stop. So like, I just had to stop. And like, I know we all do it in different ways. Like, but yeah, I really felt like I'd fucked myself over big time. So I had my enough was enough. And then I just started small. I was like, okay, I know about the body. I know you need to move it to feel good. So I just started exercising, but I gained like 3 stone in 2 months or something ridiculous. And like, then it continued and I was so embarrassed. And like, I was living in Melksham at the time and I was so embarrassed to come back to Bath to have people see me. Cause I was like, what the hell would they think? Again, they probably would have only had a thought for 2 seconds, like, oh, she's gained some weight. And then like onto the next thought. But to me, I was like, no one can see me. Oh my God. It like consumed me. So I started exercising by myself. Then I met Alex, and he was like, first thing I want you to do is go home, watch this thing called The Secret. It's on YouTube, because it was only on YouTube at the time. And it took you like 10 hours to find it. And he was like, when you watch it every day for like the next 30 days. And I was like, okay, cool. And the first time I ever saw it, I literally was sat there at the end and I was just like, oh, you've actually shitting me. Why is school not telling us about this? I generally had no idea that our minds were that powerful, that everything we think, we feel, we say, we do is literally like a magnet. You're attracting what you want to your life or what you don't want to your life, but either way, you're attracting it. So that was the first thing for me. And it was from that day on, I was like, and I'm very much like bored in China shop, it's all or nothing. I was like, that is it. I am not going to continue to think the way that I was thinking. Cause the thoughts I was saying to myself about myself was so horrible. Mm. And I was like, okay, I can't remember who told me, someone, I think it might've even been Alex. He was like, I want you to start speaking to yourself how you would a 4-year-old. Because if you would say the things that you're saying to yourself to a 4-year-old, like, I don't believe you would. Like, the things you're saying to yourself are awful and they're also not true. You need to stop lying to yourself. Mm. I started to do the law of attraction and the manifesting, and then that led me on to Tony Robbins, who was like, I love Tony Robbins. And then like a few other people, like Bob Proctor and like all of them.
I've been listening to a Bob Proctor meditation recently, actually. Like,
daily. Have you?
Yeah, it's an abundance one, but going back there, what was I going to say? It's the smallest. I think the easiest way of explaining that, whenever I explain it to someone, it's like, well, if you're shopping for like a new car, and you say you're shopping for a Golf, you want a VW Golf, you all of a sudden start seeing VW Golfs everywhere. And it's like, it's not all of a sudden there's more VW Golfs. It's like, it's just your focus.
It's just what you're putting your attention to.
Yeah. Or if you're like miserable, like you'll notice all the miserable people around you and you'll be like, oh God, look at them. They're fucking miserable. Yeah. Mm. But if you're happy, you'll start noticing like
that thing,
the happy things. Yeah.
There's happy people. You know, when like sometimes someone will mention somebody who you haven't spoken to in ages, or like this actually happened to me recently. I'm not going to mention the name because I'm not going to re-manifest them in. I'm so done with that. But someone mentions someone and then you're like, oh yeah, that person. And then you start talking about it and then you haven't seen them or heard from them or nothing for years. And then all of a sudden you're either going to start seeing them around or someone else will mention them, or they'll like follow you on Facebook or something. I don't know. They'll just start encroaching into your world again. Yeah. It's because you literally sent out that I see everything as like a battery, and it's either the end I want to attract in or the end I don't. I end up pushing stuff away that's trying to come in that I need. So like, but that's like a whole other bit of the manifesting that I've learned to do now. So like, rather than just putting out, because to begin with, when I first found out about it, like they say on the film, if you want the Golf, like think about it, know what the car smells like, imagine yourself with the hands on the steering wheel, like know all the details so you can attract it in, but like let go of it at the same time. Don't be too like stuck on a time frame. After a while, I started to realize that I was attracting exactly what I was asking for. But then when I got it, I was like, I don't want that. Who gave me this? Like, I don't want this. And I'm like, oh, I asked for it. Yeah. So then I start putting this like this detail on what I want, because I wasn't happy. And then everyone's like, but you asked for it. And I'm like, yeah, I know we did, but I don't want it. Yeah. So then now especially when I do vision boarding, and this is how insane it is, and like my life today is proof of it now. I made a vision board for like the 20th time in April this year. And it was the first one I ever did that I didn't put the photos on there to represent exactly what I wanted. I chose photos that represented the feeling that I wanted once I'd got to that point in whatever it was. And then I also built it. I do everything like intuitively. So I just allow myself to just do. And then I sort of look back after and think, oh, wow. Like I let my gut guide me with stuff. So when I made this board, rather than being really picky, I normally make it really like aesthetically pleasing. So I'll put everything that I want by like this time frame in this corner and this time frame, this one. I didn't with this one because it was all feeling based. I just let myself just put it all around. And then I realized after I built and looked back, and once I'd got here and let time pass, the whole bottom part of my board was like my foundations, my roots, like the base structure of my life that I was trying to manifest. And on my board, I have pictures of, there's like a girl and she's traveling around Thailand. There's like Fifi, the little sign, and a girl doing yoga by Fifi. And then there's like elephants and things. And then on the other corner is like an ebook, and it's a lady reading an ebook. And that was just to represent like people gain and benefit from like my words and my written stuff. And then I ended up writing an ebook, which I then put out, and I was really, it's free. It's about manifesting the law of attraction and stuff. So that made me really happy. And then obviously everything came true with Thailand, all the pictures, and there was groups of groups of people together, and they were gathering, they were around like fire pits, but the feeling of it was like the sense of community and like-minded people, but on such a soul level, not just like a surface level, like real deep connection. And as soon as I got here, like everybody on my course, I was 20 to begin with, and I think about 17 by the end of the course, I would happily get on a flight and go see any of them anywhere. Like it was real deep connections with everybody. And like same for the teachers. And then I realized the middle of my board, I have been single for like 2.5 years, happily single, just doing my own thing, looking after myself, focusing on myself and like healing. And I had no intention of wanting a partner at all. But I was like, okay, when I do attract a partner, this is how I want to feel. Rather than being like, this is what they have to look like or what job they have to do or where they come from, and nothing like that. I was like, I just want to know how I'm going to feel when I'm with that person and how I want them to make me feel and how we feel like together as a couple. So the pictures that I chose was like almost like a little bit like spiritually type stuff. There was lots of like chakra stuff, like going between the two people and like lots of entwining, that kind of stuff. It was just to represent this like deep soul level connection and this like passionate level. that like I never experienced before with people. It was very like superficial, or I just generally wasn't happy, but I was making do because like I was always coping rather than actually living. So I put that in the middle and put it out, and I was like, I don't actually want anybody. So when they do come in, it'll be because they're the right person for me. Mm-hmm. And also I always said like, once I started to work on myself, they have to turn my head enough and make like bother me enough that I keep turning my head to be like, why am I still looking at this person, for me to even humor it. And then when I got here, I met James, my partner, who, well, my partner now, and he was in the exact same place as me. Both of us were like, don't want anybody. And he was like, I'm so done with English girls. Like, I'm done with like English people now. I just want to like find someone nice and abroad. Like,
just come
nice
here to bang the Thai girls, man. I don't care. Yeah, I'm here to fuck Thai bitches.
Like, my English people.
Yeah.
And then in comes me. And then, yeah, we got to know each other for ages and we were just friends for like a few months. And then it kind of like led to this really beautiful place where we are now. But like what I see on my board is exactly like what we have.
Mm.
And nice. Yeah, and then the top bit of my board is like the places I want to go into next. And it's crazy because I've put some high expectations. I don't know how the hell I'll ever get to them, but that's the best thing, because it's not, I don't know how I'll ever make it. If I'd have said 6 months ago that I'd be living in Thailand with like working for myself, traveling around the world, now I'd be like laughing in your face. Like, yeah, of course I am. I'm stuck in a job at Wessex Water and I'm living back. Like, that's what I'm doing forever type thing.
Mad. No, inspirational, man.
It is inspirational. It is really
I think this is the quietest I've ever been on a podcast.
Yeah, no, it's good. It sounds...
I talk a lot.
Do you write as well? Oh, actually, to go back before I go into this, it's like, I was going to say, you know, the voice in your head, the self-doubt or the praise voice in your head, you know, that comes from how your parents spoke to you as a child.
Yes.
So your earliest talk of your parents, like of how they, whatever they filled your head with, that is your inner talk. Your inner talk is your mother talking to you as a toddler or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the voice that sticks in your head. So those kind of things like...
So Ross, stop it.
Stop it, basically. Ross. Yeah.
Get down. Mine was always shut up.
Be careful.
Mine was always shut up. I was always so loud.
Yeah. But the... Do you journal as well? Or do you write, or do you is all your stuff vision based, or do you do like, or do you? Because I've started working through like a life book, so I'm doing like, rather than a vision board, I'm doing like, it's like based on John and Missy Butcher's life book, and it's like you split your categories up to 12 categories of life. Mm. So your health and fitness, your intellectual, your emotional life, your parenting, your love relationship, your social relationships, your finances, your career, goals. And each chapter is a category. And then you write like your premise of what you think about that, what you already think about that. Then you write what your vision is for it. Then you write what your purpose is, like for you, like you have to have a why. If you haven't got a why, you're not going to do it. Like what is your strong purpose of why you want that vision? And then lastly, your strategy. Mm-hmm. How are you going to do it? I mean, what kind of things are you going to implement? Like, and I've been doing that and it's like, I'm building it now. And it's like the other day I started writing one and it was the career section. I started writing in past tense, like I was 60 years old and I've accomplished like everything. Mm. I'm at the position. It's like, and I wrote, it's like, I remember the feeling of what it was like when I walked away from my day job. And like fully like wrote the feelings of how I felt in it. And I wrote the whole thing.
Yes.
And afterwards I was wow. Like just felt like empowered. Like I was that person and I lived it and I was 60 and I've got grandkids and like, do you mean like I've accomplished these businesses of like, of like the help, like from on the health side more than anything, like the music, like, cause I want to incorporate, like I sent you on, and incorporate my spoken word and music into the other side, but I'm doing it under a different name. So I have two. So I'm going to keep like my Jimson persona of music, but I'm also always going to have it as like my shadow. Mm-hmm. So if I'm ever writing some dark negative shit in some music and it's going to be dark, it's like, no, that goes there.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and any spoken word or like poetic meditative stuff, boom, there goes a new one.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of calling it I Samuel Blake, lowercase I Samuel Blake, based on like the I am.
Because
my middle name is Blake.
I like that.
So it's like, this is just like, I like the, based on the, I am that I am, like the, this is like,
I like that.
This isn't me, but this is the name that I have.
Yeah, I like that.
You know what I mean? So,
Yeah, nice.
You are very inspirational. Like what you've done in the short space of time that you've done it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been crazy.
Yeah, because it's. I think. Well, I say short space of time. That's actually like.
It's been leading up. That is
downplaying.
It's a journey leading up to that.
I mean, like if you would like basically condense it on like I've gone to Thailand and I'm now doing this. It's like, oh wow, you did that in like space a few months, but it wasn't really, was it? Because it's like.
No, if you put it into perspective, it's like, yeah, I was going to say like my past, like, so I'd say maybe the last 8 years has been like fully dedicated to me, like finding myself and like figuring out myself. And it was because for so long, I'd got to a point where like I completely forgot who I was and I was impersonating anybody else I could because I wasn't happy with who I'd become. And like, That one bad year that I had, even though I was like doing the work after, like, I'd still say during the first like maybe 3 years of the 8 years, I still wasn't fully like the girl I am now or anything even similar to who I am now. And she still had no idea who she was, but she was just doing her best and like figuring stuff out. And I'd say it's been a long process, and it's crazy because when you're the person doing your life, you don't see what other people see around you. It's only when someone says like, hang on a second, can you just take a moment to remember who you were like this year, or someone will show me a photo of who I was like years ago, and then I'm like, who the hell even is that? And it depending on like which part of my life you show me, I'll have like a different reaction, but it's still like, whoa, who the hell even is that? Like, you would never. And like people meet me today and they just I still do it, and I try my hardest to not do it, but we always assume stuff about people when you meet them. You always think, oh, they must have had like this kind of life or whatever. And people just assume that like I am this and I have always been like this. And I'm like, oh no. Let me take you back. Like, no. Yeah.
That's the thing, it's crazy. Like, yeah. Like,
and I wrote this little thing recently.
You say like don't like never judge someone.
I wrote this little thing.
God, we keep the timeline cutting into each other. Go on, you talk.
I was just going to say, I wrote this thing recently, like a few days ago. It's like a mini website type thing, but it's like pages of a website. Just so it was like a place for people to click on my Instagram to explain like what I do type thing. And I thought it would be helpful to put on there, since I'm like putting out a service to people, like we said, like people need to understand who they're coming to for this service. It's like they can see a profile and whatever, but there was depth there, but not like personal depth. So I wrote a bit of a backstory about myself, just like in bullet point type thing. And then just going back through, I was like, shit me. I appreciate like who I am as a person, what I bring to the table and like what I've had to experience in my life. And I'm grateful for all of it. Like I wouldn't be who I am now had I not had to experience all the stuff I have, but writing it all out and like just putting it in like clear as day, black and white writing. I was like, holy shit. Like, I have come so far. I can't even believe like half the stuff, and like half of the stuff wasn't even on there. But yeah, it's like going back and looking over and having a reflective moment yourself. Like, cause I don't journal. Like your question to me a minute ago was, do I journal? I don't journal, but my Instagram, even if you just look at the pictures, you think they're just pictures. But then when you click on them, it's a place for me to be able to like get out the words that's in my brain. So it's like my journal, and it's very open and honest and vulnerable. I believe as people we need to be vulnerable to then show that other people it's okay to be vulnerable and open as well. So when I write, I'm speaking from my heart and I'm very honest and open about stuff. So that is like my journal, my Instagram. When you read my posts, are that basically.
No, because I have noticed on your recent ones there, you've got some like going quite deep in what you're saying. But I also think, because I remember last time we spoke and we said about when you see like these like instructors or like people, and they're so like they're so bliss and peaceful and like and it's like what the fuck? Like, do you mean it's like you can't relate? It's like when is your bad day? When are you fucking pissed off? Yeah. Like, come on, like show me your anger. And it's like when we were saying like it's really nice to like have an authentic person. It's like, well, no, like, do you mean actually it's pretty shit. It's not all it's cracked up to be. This is like, do you mean it's like this and this? It's like, but you work through it and then you get through that. And this is where you become, and then you can reap the rewards and shit. But like the honesty of like, nah, like, do you mean like it's not all bed and roses? It's like, everything's okay. Cause not everything is always okay. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like that rawness and that honesty is, Yeah.
It's like leaving your ego at the door. Like the ego does not need to be involved. If you're teaching yoga or anything that's healing, your ego does not need to be involved because it's not about you. It's about the people that's in front of you. And like we were saying this, if you want to be a teacher in anything, then you will always remain a student. If you're claiming to be someone that's like an expert or like the best, then you haven't learned anything. Like you know that you are doing a job right when you know that you know nothing. Even when you know a lot, you still know nothing, and you're open to knowing nothing and being taught by your students in whatever your area is. And we call it lit. Like there's this annoying, I'm not a judgy person at all, but I just laugh. But while I'm here in Thailand, there's a lot of it. And there's this whole like people going around going, oh, like this all the time. And it's all very like, I'm spiritual. And I'm like, you are so caught up in the ether. Like you're in the clouds, pal. Like where's your grounding? Like where are your feet on the ground? You're so high up in the sky. Bring yourself down. But we like watching it. I understand why people are doing it, and they're running. That's their way of like escapism. If they just stay like in this place, then they're not actually dealing with anything or like confronting it. They're running from it.
I remember Sadhguru, when he was talking, he said to become a yogi, or like to become a yoga instructor. This was more of like, he goes, it's to be a fool. He goes, you are openly becoming a fool.
Yeah.
He goes, because you are learning to dance with the cosmos. And he goes, you are learning to know that you don't know anything. You don't know fuck all. Yeah. Like, you don't like, he goes, once you, then the sooner you get that, he goes like, again, you're always a student. You don't actually know anything. Like there's like, do you know what I mean? It's like, there's so much depth to like what's going on. And the other thing I remember we were talking about last time about the ego. And I said, with the person that we agreed done it really well was like, who infuses it is like Russell Brand, because I like his
Russell Brand
spiritual shit that he's doing and then he's still got that element of like
comedy
that like dream
and seriousness
and like how he messes
good
I did Joe Rogan the other day when he was talking about it, he was like Russell Brand is my new favorite journalist he's so fucking funny with it but like he's so like non-bias, clued up. He's like taking it from both sides, but he like the element of comedy adds to it. And he's like, yeah, he's there. He's got these sheets of A4 paper, like reading off the articles and like that. Like, I mean, like he's another person. Like, well, like I never thought I would have like said right in my life that Russell Brand is one of the most inspirational like figures that like I follow on like a platform, or whatever. Like,
yeah, remember when he was running around on it off his head on Smack on MTV?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, and now look at him.
You
never amazing.
You mean, and like, amazing. Again, so it goes to show, like, Lou, what you were just saying about the person you were in the past. Like, he's done. That's someone you can look at as an example. It's like,
Thing is, as well, like, if you're, even if your version of you in the past, like, isn't something that people would class is like desirable or something that's like socially acceptable, that's actually a good thing, because like if you embody that, you're so much more relatable to like so many more people and you're a real person. I would rather take my advice and my guidance from someone like him who has had a very wide life than someone who's had a very narrow life and only looked at a book or that's like come from something that's given them a presence. Like, I think if you've had like a challenge in life, you were meant to have that. I believe that we all pick the path that we're meant to have had before we came here. And our job is to just experience that bit of the first part of our life or for however long that's meant to be. And then gain what you like, realize what your gift was from that. Because every single bad thing that happens to all of us, there's a golden thread in all of that. And like, you have to experience it to understand like the depth of pain as well. Because how can you ever look at somebody and be like, I know how you feel, if you don't actually know how they feel? So like, people like him, I love hearing stuff like that. And if someone's had like a real tough, wide life, I'm like, tell me your things. Let me know about all your things.
So my missus, we're pulling Kyle out of school in January. And he's going to be homeschooled.
Are you actually?
You're pulling him out of school in January.
Come on.
Wow.
We went to like this thing to see his work.
If I could, I'd fist bump as well.
Hey. But we went to see his work the other day and like, we looked through it and like he got like really like almost embarrassed, like he wanted to rush through it. And it's like, we looked in the classroom. We weren't allowed in the classroom. We had to sit outside on the tables because obviously COVID and you're not allowed in. We looked in the classroom. We were like, where the fuck is the artwork? And we were like, he had a design technology thing and it was just some like, shit things. All the art was like cut out pictures of what they've been told to color in. There was no expression. I was like, there's no feeling or human shit. It was like it's the demon headmaster running the school. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they're just prepping people, aren't they, to be drones, like.
Yeah, and it's cookie cutter approach, and he's like, he's not happy when he goes down. It's like, well, he goes, oh no, I'm gonna go, what are you gonna miss? He goes, my friends. It's like, and break.
Aww.
Like, he's gonna miss friends and break. It's like, so you're not actually gonna miss anything. I was but like Shan, the other day, she started writing in a journal. And I was like, whoa, you need to keep up with this. And I'm like, if we're going to do this, go on a journey, start documenting your home. Because she's going to be doing most of it, obviously, because whilst I'm working, so yeah, it's like, fair play. She's going to be like the one more in it than me. But like, we're going to like get into the forest and show that. But like, she started doing this journal the other day and the shit she wrote, I was like, fucking, I was like, that's fucking fantastic. Like the humor in it and everything. It's like, she was like, yeah, I just did it, put them in school. Like, well, even though my gut feeling was wrong, but like the way she goes, and she goes, yeah, and you just adhere to this thing and like you're there. And she was like, any moment I could, it would be like to try and get away and just get fucking absolutely hammered. But the brutal honesty of how she was feeling.
Yeah.
But she'd actually written humor into it. It's like, yeah, I felt like it was a dog and it was a chore. And it's like, yeah, pack the poo bags. And then in brackets, like nappy bags, pack this. And the way she'd like written it, it was like, yeah, you're packing like to take the dog for a walk. And it's like a chore to take the kids to the park. And she's like, that shouldn't be it.
Yeah.
But like when it's like you're deemed on like, but like the way she wrote it, I can't like retrace it. But I was like, that's fucking brilliant. And you will relate to a lot of mums, I think, writing what you've written and the brutal honesty of what you've written, the way you've written it.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're starting your journey now, I said, keep doing this, keep documenting it.
Yeah,
I said,
make a book.
Make a book, get comfortable with, that's the thing I said to her, it's like, get comfortable with being in front of the camera. She's like, oh, I don't know. I was like, trust me, like, even if no one does it yet, we can just do it ourselves. I'll film you. We're like, we can show it to anyone. Just do it.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah.
I think, am I behind? Oh, no, I think we're behind.
I was going to say TikTok, like that kind of stuff. Oh, no, it's just skipped up. It did like a buffer. On TikTok, like that kind of stuff is what like people want to see because it's, I don't know about you guys, like I don't know if you use it or anything like that. I only use it to kind of like educate myself on certain things. Like, so it's got an algorithm. And if you watch certain kind of stuff, you'll see more of it. The kind of stuff I get on my TikTok is like on the feed is like spiritual stuff. It teaches me so much stuff. Oh, my God. Mm. It reaches so many different people all over the world that I'd never probably be able to access. But yeah, it teaches me a lot of stuff like that. But I often will find people being very open and honest about like their journey with various things. And like mums that are on there that are just being honest, like about lockdown and like being with the kids during lockdown. Like, even though I'm not a mum, I can completely sympathize and empathize with that. So, and like, but a mum being honest about like homeschooling, oh my God, so many other parents like would benefit from that. It would be massive for people. She'd be of service in so many ways.
Yeah. Cause it's like, I look at people and I think like some people, they just put the kids in school. It's like almost like as a convenience. Mm. And I mean, it's not, I don't think it is for everyone.
It's just status quo, isn't it?
And I mean, some children do very well and thrive in a schooling system like that. And they can sit there and they can be very academic in that sense. But if a child isn't, and there's no way to like in that structure that they're going to adhere to it. So why would you? You're going to fucking, you're subjecting that child to torture
for
the next however many years. Where it's like,
and they're just going to be brandished naughty.
Yeah, well, he's like, the thing is, though, with him, though, he's not even naughty, so he tries so hard to, like, get on the rainbow and shit, and it's like, now he's just like, it's like, whoa, you're being programmed now to please and not get anything wrong and be too nervous to get things wrong and shit like that, and because he's probably not, like, the brightest academically as well, it's like, but nah, man, but like, we need
to... the thing is as well, not even that they're not even academic, like, Roscoe, you were so right, they just get deemed and stamped as, like, the naughty kid, when actually, like, because I was taught this skill before I came to Thailand like a couple years ago. This woman taught me biometric personality testing through the fingerprints. So like science-based. And it basically like helps you understand that like, even from a newborn baby, you can tell what they're going to be like, their characteristics, their personality traits, their challenges as a person and their potentials. And a lot of kids that are a certain type of character, their brain, like, so their class is like the tented arches. Their brain works so fast. If their brain is not exercised, they just get bored. They switch off, which is why they start like kicking the table, tapping on things. They get bored. They start being naughty because they're not being like exercising the mind. But then the teacher sees that as them being dumb or they don't get it. Whereas actually they're just way too smart for that class. They like need to be put in a different group with like more stimulant. But yeah, they just end up being branded as the naughty kid. And then that's what they then tell themselves. Oh, I'm dumb. I don't know anything. When actually there's they're completely misunderstood. Yeah. It's crazy. I don't like the school system. It needs to be changed.
One of the other parents, I was talking to one of the other parents the other day, and she said like her daughter struggles with the spelling. So she gets the There's two groups to like, they're six, right? They get like spellings, like you have to do 10 spellings or 5 spellings, depending on what group you're in. At the end of that age, like you have to do them every week and they test them every week. Got to go to test. It's like, what are you putting fucking that pressure on? Oh, I got a child. Then be a child, man. But anyway, like she was saying to the other mum, like her mum went, she's like getting anxiety and shit. Like she shouldn't be having anxiety. She doesn't want to come to school on a Tuesday when you do the spelling test because she's worried about it. And the teacher turns around and she's like, well, she goes, they're the easy ones. So she was like, you've just told my daughter that they're the easy ones, so she should be able to get them. So now she's going to feel even worse because she can't get the easy ones. It's like, kind of things that it's like, yeah, fuck that. Like, nurture someone, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, find their strengths, encourage that. And yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's the goal of that. So yeah, it's, yeah.
Fair play to you, though.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, it's going to be challenging. But I think
it'd be
the most rewarding.
Yeah.
The most rewarding thing that we could do.
Yeah.
Because what I sent to him about the forest school the other day, it's like, look, he's like, oh, and I was like, no, look, this, like, and I read out what they do on forest school. So it'd be one day a week. And like on the forest school, it's like you go in, you have free play, do a morning activity, lunch, free play, and then afternoon activity or something like that. But it's like, now they get like 15 minutes.
Is this a standard school?
3 minutes.
No, it's a forest school. So it's not, it's just a private thing. So like what you can do for home, for kids that are homeschooled, you can put them in, there's one in Box and there's one up at Rainbow Woods as well. So I'm going to look at both, but it's like 150 quid a term, which works out about 30 quid a session. I think it is.
That's all right.
For a day. So just one day a week to do that. Because obviously he needs to be going to clubs and stuff.
Yeah, socializing with other kids.
Still socializing. Yeah, that's what most people say. They're like, oh, he's not going to get any social skills. So he's not fucking getting any social skills at school, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you're probably going to get more social skills going to, like, these kind of clubs and things. Yeah. And I know there's a home ed, they meet up at Odddown. They do loads of, like, activities and shit in Odddown. So, yeah. Yeah.
What's the goal, amazing. Man?
Internet connection.
Fair play.
Right, yeah, we got to wrap it up. So,
Yeah, that's what it is.
What is your personal meaning of life? Today,
my personal meaning of life is just to be of service. Honestly, I can't tell you, like, it makes me emotional. Like, you know, we were talking about your why should make you cry. That's my thing. Like, it makes me so emotional, but in like the best way. I just want to be of service and know that I've made at least one person's day a little bit better, like, in any way. And anything I've had to experience that was awful, then I can be of service to someone who's going through it right now to be like, it's okay, this is how I got out, maybe it'll help.
Nice, man. Could get behind that.
Lou, thank you for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Louise Harris, Luna Solomore. Thank you, Lou.
Thanks.